First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. When you got it, say amen.
Amen.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Father, we're glad for the privilege to be here in the house of God this morning. We're thankful for your divine presence. Thankful for your people. It is a joy to assemble with the people of God. And Lord, we thank you for your promise that where two or three are gathered together, in my name I will be there in the midst. Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would descend upon this place. And you would speak to hearts through the Word of God. You would draw souls unto yourself. Those, Lord, that are unsaved, I pray that this would be the end of their futile searching. May they find satisfaction in their soul in coming to Jesus in this day. And Father, I pray that if there are those in this house whose hearts are depressed and down, discouraged and downhearted, that you would minister to them through your word. And I pray that when we leave here, we'd leave here with our faith anchored in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to speak to you for a few minutes this morning on the trial of your faith. And I want to demonstrate from the scriptures that there is a reason for your trial. And I want you to see how to be victorious in your trial and also what to do if you have failed in your trial. Trials are a common lot among the people of God. We all have trials. We all go through troubles. We all go through valleys in life. And no doubt there are many people right here in this house this morning that you are right now in the midst of a valley, a trial, a test that you are going through right now in your life. And I want you to understand that things do not happen to us by accident. That God has a purpose for what goes on in our life. And every child of God is in the hands of God. And God is in control. And nothing can come to us except God allows it to come. And there is a purpose for everything that happens to us that goes on in our life. The Bible tells us that the trial is the trying of your faith. Verse 7, the trial of your faith. This is what our trials are. They are trials of our faith. Our faith in Jesus Christ is going to be put to the test. And there will be troubles that will come to you seeking to destroy your confidence in Jesus Christ. You are going to be tried. The reason why that your faith is going to be tried is because of the value of your faith. I want you to understand that when the scriptures say in verse 7 that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, he's talking about your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth. So if you want something more important than gold, If you want something of more value than money, if you want something of more value than a big bank account or a big retirement account, the Bible says your faith is of much more value than gold. And if God would help us to see the value of faith, hallelujah, then we'd pursue that as if it were a treasure. For it is a treasure. It is of much more value than gold. And the reason why your faith is so critical and so important is because it is the means by which you are saved. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We are saved by faith. The Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." It is our faith in Christ, and our faith in the work of Christ on the cross, and our faith in the person of Christ, who He is, the Son of God, that brings salvation to us. We are saved by our faith. We're not only saved by our faith, we are kept by our faith. Sometimes in holiness circles we hear people talk as if they believe they are saved by their faith and kept by their works. But that is not scriptural. We are kept by the same thing that saves us. Our faith saves us. Our faith keeps us. I'm telling you, the Bible says in verse 5 of my text, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." So our faith is what saves us, and it is our faith that keeps us. So you see the value of your faith. No wonder the devil wants to rob you of your faith. It is your faith that saves you. It is your faith that keeps you. And so the trials that come to you, Satan is trying to rob you of your faith. This is the trial of your faith. Now your faith is going to be tried, not only because Satan wants to rob you of something so valuable, but your faith is going to be tried because your trial is necessary to develop your potential. The Bible tells us in verse 7, "The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." So what God is doing in allowing these trials in your life is He is perfecting your faith so that your faith will be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sometimes this passage of Scripture in James chapter 1 is baffling to us. But it says this, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this," the reason why we do not rejoice in our trials, is because we do not know this. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That is, it produces endurance in you. The trying of your faith produces endurance in you. "And let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire," or complete, "wanting nothing." In other words, the trial of your faith, it's producing spiritual maturity in you. God is doing something in your life through the trial that has come to you. And when you understand that God has a reason for that trial, there's a reason for those tears, there's a reason for that burden upon your heart, and God is using that to perfect your faith. Hallelujah. So He says to count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And He says in verse 5 of that chapter, He said, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him." What is wisdom? Why do we ask for wisdom in the time of our trials? Wisdom is the ability to look at life from God's perspective. And whenever you lack that, when you don't understand what God understands about your trial, when you're looking at it from an earthly viewpoint, when you're seeing it from a fleshly perspective, it's discouraging when trials come to you. But when you're viewing it from God's perspective, and you understand God has a reason and a purpose, and He's working out a purpose in your life through that, then you can count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. I'm telling you, brother, God is interested in your life. And He's not going to let you go through life without problems, because He loves you so good that He's going to develop your potential through your trials. Sometimes we sing a song, "Thank you for the valley I walk through today. Life can't be all sunshine, other flowers would die. There's got to be some rain. Got to be some days of clouds. It's the valley that sends me to my knees in prayer. It's the valley where I find out that Jesus is the lily of the valley. It's in the valley that I find out that God loves me when I'm feeling good, but He loves me when I'm not feeling good too. He loves me when I'm on top of the world, and He loves me when it feels like the world's on top of me." Hallelujah. God, He loves us unceasingly. The Bible tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I got up this morning, and I did, I got up feeling refreshed. You know, I don't normally get very much sleep on Saturday night, and I didn't get a whole lot last night, but I got an hour more than I would have got. Hallelujah. And I'm feeling pretty good. I got up this morning feeling pretty good. Praise God. And I know the Lord loves me. I came here to the house of God this morning. I not only felt good in my body, I felt good in my soul. I'm still feeling good in my soul. And I felt like God really loved me. But I'm telling you, if I got up this morning and my head was a-busting, and I got up this morning and my arthritis was aching, and I got up this morning and the devil was a-pouncing on me, I'm telling you, God would still love me. The devil may tell me He don't, and in those times we're prone to believe him. But I'm telling you, God still loves you. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brother, when I stood by the casket of my mom and dad in February of this year, and a heart broken beyond anything I've ever known before, and tears and heartbreak like I've never known. But I'm telling you, in that hour, I experienced the power of God's grace and love for me in that hour. And since that day, till this very day, God has sustained me. And I have felt the undergirding of God's strong right arm and His love for me. And in spite of the fact that my parents both were buried on the same day, I still know that Jesus loves me. Praise God. And every trial has a purpose. God is a working something in our lives. These are the trying of your faith, brother and sister. You hear me? This is the trying of your faith when you're going through the dark valleys and the devil's trying to shake your confidence in God and trying to get you distracted from the love of God. But there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, these trials, God is helping us through these trials. There's a reason for it. And I want you to understand, you can be victorious in every trial that comes your way. Don't you believe the devil that this one's too bad and too hard and too long and you cannot handle it. You can handle it by the grace of God. I say, it don't matter what it is, God can help you through this trial. We don't want to use no excuses. I failed because I couldn't help it. No. God has got the grace available for you right where you are, right what you're going through right now. God has got the grace available for you. And the way that we are victorious is we never quit praying in the time of our trial. We ask God for wisdom. We ask God for strength. We ask God for grace. We never quit praying. We stand on the promises of God. We say, God, you said this. Your word declared it. I believe it. And I'm going to stand on the word of God. We stand on the promises of God. We've got an unshakable foundation in the promises of God given to us in the divine word of God. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Hallelujah. So we pray. We stand on the promises of God. And listen, here's the way we overcome in our trials. We stay focused. We stay focused on the person of our salvation. It was Peter who answered the call of Jesus when Jesus is walking on the water. And he bids Peter to come to him. And Peter walks on the water until he got his eyes off of Jesus and started looking at the waves around him. And when he began to look at the waves around him, the Bible says he was fearful and he began to sink. But when he looked back to Christ and said, Lord, save me, Jesus reached down and pulled him up out of the waves and rescued Peter. Brother, you got to stay focused on the person of Jesus Christ. My text says, whom having not seen, you love. Whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let me tell you this scripture in Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also accomplish that with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. Did I just give you a prescription for overcoming faintness and weariness in your mind? Did I just give you a formula? Did I just tell you what to do? I just told you from the Word of God, looking unto Jesus and, praise God, considering Him who endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. There's a cure for your weariness. That's a cure for your faint-heartedness. Looking unto Jesus. Keeping focused on the Son of God. And then we got to keep our focus on the end of our journey. You know, sometimes it is the bumps along the way that make people think that the trouble is not worth the journey. And everybody's got those bumps along the way. But you can't focus on the bumps. You gotta focus on the end of the journey. My text says that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It tells us that we'll receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. It tells us that we have been given a hope, an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, some of you have received an inheritance. You know what an inheritance is. But everything you've ever got, you're going to turn it loose. I'm telling you, you're not going to keep it. I don't care how much it was. I don't care how important it is to you. Whatever it was, that inheritance that you got, you're going to turn it loose. You can't keep it. You can't hold on to it. But God tells us that He's given us an inheritance. that's incorruptible, undefiled, that's eternal in the heavens. We've got an inheritance that we cannot lose. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we've got to stay focused on our inheritance. Now I know that in the trial of our faith, some people are going to succeed and some people are going to fail. And you don't have to fail in the time of your trial, but there are people that fail. And there may be somebody here this morning that you failed. There was a time when you had the victory. There was a time when you loved God. There was a time when the fire burned in your soul. But something happened along the journey that distracted you, got you out of focus. Problems that arose in your life. Difficulties that you didn't know how to solve. Things that you did not understand that took your attention off of Jesus Christ. And you failed the test. And somehow, like Peter, when Jesus was on trial, and he was questioned about Jesus, denied him three times. There may be somebody right here in this house right now that you have failed the test. What do you do when you fail the test? Well, let's look at Peter. He failed the test. And Jesus told him before he went into that test, I know you're going to fail. And I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. You remember how Peter denied the Lord and then looked around and there was Jesus looking at him. It broke his heart. The Bible says he went out into the night and he wept bitterly, repented of his failure, and Jesus restored him back to fellowship with God. And you may be here this morning and you have failed the test, but I'm telling you, Jesus still loves you. I said, Jesus still loves you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peter, when Jesus looked at Peter, didn't say a word. But Peter understood from that look that Jesus still loved him. And he went out and made things right with God. And you too can make things right with God this very morning in this service. Hallelujah. You know, I know there's all kind of problems sitting on these pews here you brought to the house of God. Young people bring, you know, they bring one set of problems. Moms and dads bring another set of problems. Grandmas and granddads bring another set of problems. We all have our different kinds of problems that we bring to the house of God. But we all face trials and tests and temptations. And I don't want you to feel like, I don't want you to sit on these pews and feel like I'm unique. I'm the only one in this place that's having problems and troubles. You just don't know. You just don't know. And you can offer excuses, you know, and say, well, I'm unique. I couldn't handle it. Nobody else could handle this. But I'm going to tell you, somebody has been down that road where you are right now and found grace to overcome. And Jesus helped them through it. And he will help you through what you are going through right now. The Bible says to be sober and be vigilant, Sister Judy. Be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You're not unique, and there's somebody that's made it through what you're going through, and Jesus will help you too. Now, while Sister Judy sings, listen to me. There may be people in this house that you've got appointments, you've got to meet, and you've got to leave, and you've got to go home. And that's all right. If you've got appointments, you've got something you've got to do that's that critical and you need to go, that's fine. But there may be somebody in this house that feels in their heart
that there's something important, more important than anything else in my life, I need to get right with God. And I'm telling you, I ain't got nowhere to go except for the next door and to get something to eat. And it don't matter if I don't get it. I'm telling you, if somebody wants to get right with God, I got time to stay here with you and pray until you get right with God. And this is the most important thing that we'll do in this day. If there's somebody here that needs Jesus, this is the most important thing we'll do. Somebody needs to find Jesus as their Savior. And we've got time to do that. And we're going to stand together this morning. If there's anybody